Shalom Aleichem, I hope that everything is well. This is Yosef Bronstein, re-recording a shir that I was supposed to give to the Avrikim on Machon Zimrat Ta'aretz on the topic of Torah's Eretz Yisrael, mainly based on the writings of Rav Kook. So in the previous shir, we discussed the yichud of Nevuah and Halakha, of Pnimius Torah and Nigla, of Sisri Torah and Nigla, and we pointed out that for Rav Kook, that there are certain things that are more emphasized in Sisri Torah, in Nevuah, in Agadata, in that area of Torah, and more emphasized in those areas of Torah than in regular Nigla Halacha Gemara. One of those things was the experience of Dveikus Vashem, feeling different when you're learning than when you're not learning. And then number two was the subjectivity of it, that the Dvar Hashem of Nevuah and of Sisri Torah goes through a person to the outside. And I want to pick up on some of these themes and discuss something that dovetails, that relates to those things. And that is the curriculum that a person should develop for themselves when they are learning Torah in the purview of Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Just introduce the topic, just to note, there is one school of thought, or there is a set of Makoros that emphasizes and almost valorizes a type of Torah where there is no personal enjoyment at all. If you look in Bereishis Rabbah, Tzadi Beis, Amar Rav Alexandri, In lecha adam b'lo yisurim, everybody suffers. Ashrei la'adam shi yisurim b'ayim alav min haTorah. Praiseworthy is a person whose yisurim comes from the Torah. Shenemar mitrascha t'lam deinu. So, if I recall correctly, I think the mainstream approach to this medrash is that the yisurim that come from the Torah is not from the learning itself, but from the life of Torah. If one has dedicated themselves to Torah, that means they're not dedicated towards luxuries and hana'os al-mazah. You might have to have a possible amount of tocha, a mayim of mesura tishta type of lifestyle. And those are the yisurim of Torah. But I didn't have time to look it up, so I'm speaking from memory. But if I recall correctly, there is a strand of thought that interprets this medrash not just about the lifestyle of somebody that dedicates himself to Torah, but the process of learning Torah itself. That sometimes learning Torah is not enjoyable. You're learning a topic which you really don't want to be learning at this point. You're learning Torah as opposed to doing something else, and there's yesurim, there's a little bit of torture. There's forcing yourself to sit in a chair and work through a very, very technical subject. And Ashrei la'adam sheyesurim b'ayim alav min haTorah, praiseworthy is a person that could sit through it, that could get that experience. Again, there are other makoros, but just to pick out one that I happen to put on the sheet. The letters of the stipler, kind of Igrisa. He's writing a letter to somebody that wanted to be Masagiyah themselves, to flip themselves, to get Kapara. So he says, the stipler says he shouldn't do that. And he says, so you want to afflict yourself in order to get Kapara. You should learn well. Learn b'chazara, something that you already know very well. Because you have no desire to be learning this, sugya. It is totally a shame shemayim, because there is no rational reason why you would be engaged in this daf once again, and it is an element of sigul, an element of affliction. But not to do other forms of sigufim. You shouldn't torture yourself when you're learning. There has to be a chuka, a cheshek, a hana'a involved in one's learning. I guess like the hakdama of the egli tal. And there is a notion of you have to learn a mesachta that you want, like the Gemara says and Rashi explains. But there is an element there is that the learning that is totally the Shem Shemayim is a learning where ain lo cheshek, where you have no desire to be learning, and you're doing it anyway. So again, the stipler is not saying that should be your only learning, but he is describing or valorizing or admiring that type of learning when it's done in conjunction with other forms of learning as well. Again, if I recall correctly, this is the Chafetz Chaim writes somewhere that there is a maila to learn, at least for part of the day, a type of learning, a type of sugya, which you don't want to be doing. Because Torah is supposed to recreate you. It's supposed to break you and recreate you in Hashem's image. And that happens it doesn't always happen when you're learning the things you want to be learning. It happens often when you're learning the things that you don't want to be learning, and you're forcing yourself to do it anyway. And there is definitely truth to it, and I'm not saying that it's wrong, and this idea definitely has a lot of support in our Masorah. I think there's a story with the Friedrich Rebbe where he said, I could be getting it wrong, he said that there's somebody came to him and says that told him he has no bren to learn, he has no desire to learn, and the Friedrich Rebbe said that he's mekana, he has kenna of him, because if you have no bren, no desire, you're doing it anyway, that imagine the scar the person is going to get it. I could be butchering the story, I could be getting the details wrong, but I think it's a similar type of thing. Again, in Chabad, there's definitely other elements of learning as well. There's learning Talmud Torah is more like a ben form as opposed to an evet form of Avodas Hashem, where you feel the avet, you feel the engagement, you feel the meaning, you feel the closeness. But there are other elements of one's learning as well. As you might imagine, Rav Kook is much more on the side of desiring your learning what you want to learn, feeling good and feeling close to what one is learning, to the extent, as we'll see, that Rav Kook is going to recommend that as people get older, they should have individualized curriculums, individualized, they should focus on a certain area of Torah. And one of the major factors in determining what area of Torah they should focus on is their tshuva pnimis, is their intuition, is their subjective experience when they are learning that area of Torah. If they have a negative subjective experience when they're learning that area of Torah, that is a siman min hashamayim, that is not kneged their neshama. And they have to engage it to a degree, they have to learn some of it, but they shouldn't be their main esek in Torah. And if you are learning something and you're on fire and you feel very connected, feel very close to it, and it's something which interests you, that is a good siman that this is an area of Torah which you should be more engaged in. This connects well with your neshama, and part of your tafkid is to bring out this Torah into the world. One of the places where Rav Kook discusses this type of individualized curriculum is an essay entitled Ha'oneg V'Hasimcha, Pleasure and Joy, which is part of the collection of essays Ikvi Hatzon, that Rav Kook himself published, I think. The first of these essays is Maamar Hadar, and then there are several other essays that I guess aren't as popular, aren't as read. But Oneg V'Hasimcha is pretty short, I think it's like a page and a half, but it's very, very fundamental in terms of the curriculum of Talmud Torah and what the experience of Talmud Torah should be. So previously we discussed the experience of Talmud Torah in terms of Kirbat Hashem, spirituality, Ruchnius. Here Rav Kook uses the terms Oneg and Simcha, which I guess maybe are more relatable. Rav Kook starts off the essay. I excerpted out some of the main points. Oneg and Simcha are things that are necessary to accompany every sort of spiritual activity, every spiritual pursuit. Why? Rav Kook has two reasons. Well, number one, functionally. So when you are feeling oneg v'simcha, that is going to encourage you and motivate you to be engaged in more and more in these spiritual pursuits. So it's a functional reason. And then Rav Kook says, Rak az yachal ruach hashchina v'ziv kavod ala adam ki oz v'chad v'mikomo. This seems like it's a more fundamental reason that the way to connect to the Shechina is through the emotions or the experiences of Oneg and Simcha. And Rav Kook does have a place for Yirat Shamayim, of course, in his thoughts, but Oneg and Simcha are very, very important categories. I guess Oneg, I think in Chabad, there's the Chachma Bina Das, but above Chachma Bina Das is Keter or Ratzon, and that's the non-rational, unconscious will that just that that. That that stands behind a lot of the thoughts that pop into our brain, and if I recall correctly, the pneumius of Ratzon is Oneg, because what we desire, what we find pleasurable, that is what create that is what we desire, that is what we desire. That Oneg creates the Ratzon, and the Ratzon is in some way stands above or is deeper than the Chokhmah Bina Das, the more conscious thoughts. So here, Oneg and Simcha are things that are supposed to accompany all spiritual pursuits. If Cook in this essay assumes that. And it's easier to find Oneg and Simcha in Talmud Torah than in Asiyas HaMitzvos. Asiyas HaMitzvos is associated more with Avdos, which is with doing the mitzvos. Of course, Rav Kook doesn't have Oneg and Simcha there as well. But Talmud Torah is an intellectual pursuit. It's something which is found, which people find enjoyable. I guess like the Hakdama of the Egli Tal. Then Rav Kook goes on to say that if we find Oneg and Simcha in Talmud Torah, then it's going to be able to be mashpia on our entire lives, even on Chayei Ma'aseh. Rav Kook says, how do you find oneg v'simcha in Talmud Torah? He says you have to overthink about a Torah as mazon ruchani, spiritual food. In terms of food, so we eat in order to get the nutrients that we need to have energy, that we need to keep our bodies healthy. Rav Kook writes, Hashem could have made it that we all get our nutrients from the same tofu, from the same very, very bland food, and that will keep us going. But Hashem didn't do that. Hashem created a culinary world that is filled with colors and tastes and spices and different cultures and so many different things, and each person they could get the nutrients in the way that is most matim for their ta'am, for their own personal taste. Rav Kook writes the underlying parts. The same thing is true about mazon ruchani. The olam yilmad adam torah mokum shlibo kafich. The Gemara says a person should learn Torah, but Makom Shli B'Chafetz. I think Rashi says the Masachta that you want, because the Torah is Hashem Kafso. Okay, Mukra Kadavar Shakal Akikar Gadol Shalar Kavasa Shal Torah Yenugul the Fanim B'Charakvu. We have to have the entire breadth of the Torah unfurled in front of us. B'Chol Mix Osav Hashanim Amorbim in all of its varied and variegated disciplines. L'man Nuchal V'Yos Mukhanim L'Chaven Es Hazman V'Netziah L'Fi Achivet Sapnimi. So that we could find our place in Torah based on our nitiya pnimes, based on our chifetz pnimi, to satiate our thirst. So the way to gain onen v'simcha in Torah is to learn the parts of Torah that speak to you, the ones that you have a nitiya pnimes towards, and then once you have onen v'simcha Torah, it's going to be mashpia outwards as well. I've cooked to discuss this in many places in Avodah Torah. Look at Avodah Torah, Tes Aleph. Rav Kook writes, "Kol echad tzarek la'asov be'isik shelo." Everybody has to deal with their own pursuits. Rashi yishlo zeh achana, that with which a person is prepared. Uvayichad adavar noeg binyanei halimud. This is particularly true when it comes to learning. She'alfa b'yishlo famei ma'idim ora os b'matzav yakashel adam lahaksik mamash libo chafetz. Even though sometimes, based on circumstances, it will be difficult for a person to hold on to mamash libo chafetz. Meaning, a person might be in an educational institution which is more rigid, or a person might be in an environment where everybody's only learning a certain thing. A person has to be courageous. And should not abandon that which is particularly pertaining and particularly energizing and ennobling for his own personal spirit. You know, Cook writes that this is a that making a mistake about this individualized curriculum is something that could cause a person to unfortunately go off the derech. Rav Kook writes, and or to Torah Tesvav, Yesh Tami Shetzul Tarbas Ra, some people went off the Derek. When they Shabbat Derek, Libutam Vashlam Asam Ruchanit, Bagdu Betunatam Yishit Ham Yuhadez. They betrayed their internal natural characteristics. Hashayakad Mukshar L'Divya Agada. Let's say somebody, like Rav Kook himself, was on the last year, defined himself as somebody who's Mukshar L'Divya Agada, Lefi his Tava, he's an Ishmish Tarin V'Agada, Vinani Halakha, Inam Lefi Tchunas Elios, Asabim Kfios. And halakha is not something which he, based on his own inner characteristics, he is supposed to be dealing with them at bekvius. And what's going to happen? He doesn't recognize this. He's going to force himself to learn more and more halakha. There's going to be some type of hitznagdut, there's going to be some type of internal objection to the subject matter that he's studying. And because of that internal conflict with the subject matter, with the opposition to the subject matter he's studying, he's going to develop a lot of negative associations with that area of study. In this case, halakha. And then he's going to develop a very negative association with halakha, and then eventually he's going to go off the derech. Rather, what should a person do? He should recognize, look at the fourth line after the period, Avim Hayom Otzias Tafkido Mimalo, a person would find his personal tafkid and fill it, Lasot Mikvias Boso Mikzoa Shibitora, Matim Tchonas Navsho, and he would spend more time engaged with the area of Torah that is more Matim for him. Now, when he learns halakha and he has some type of opposition, he's not going to think, "Oh, this opposition is because because halakha is worthless. Halakha is meaningless." Kasa shalom. It's he's going to realize it's because this is not for him. He has to learn a little bit of halakha, and as we're going to see, Rav Kook wants everybody to have a broad-based education. Everybody has to have a broad knowledge of everything. But he's going to realize that he's going to mainly learn a gadata, learn a little bit of halakha, and he's going to realize that halakha is very valuable. It's a lot of the ideas that he's learning about in a gadata are expressed through halakha, and halakha is a good way to make a practice of those spiritual ideas that he is learning in the divrei agada. So he's going to realize the value of divrei agada, and he's going to see, oh, this opposition that I had when I was learning halakha is not because halakha is chas v'shalom meaningless and worthless. Rather, it's because it's not for me in terms of the main primary aspect of my learning. So here you see Rav Kook in several different places is talking about an individualized educational curriculum that is based partially, at least, on not in terms of like what is maybe it's based on a person's intuition, a person's subjective experience. Do they have the oneg v'simcha? Do they have natural attraction to this part of the Torah? It's important to note that this is not necessarily the only way of developing, of telling people what their main area of learning should be. Now, the main area of learning traditionally in many yeshivos is Gemara Halakha. And Rav Lichtenstein has an essay, Why I Learn Gemara, explaining why, from an objective perspective, Halakha, Gemara, and Halakha has been and should be the main limud. Think of Avadi as a Shuva, who says you have half an hour to learn, you shall learn halakha. You say, I'm not sure if I've seen this in writing, but if I heard in the name of Rishon Salanter, you have half hours to learn, you shall learn Musar, because then you'll see you have more time to learn. The point is that the one approach to this question of what should I be learning is based on an objective hierarchy. What is the most important type of limud? From an objective standpoint, Rav Kook is saying Torah is amazing, Torah is great. But the primary focus of one's learning should be based on where a person finds the most owning simcha, should be based on a person's netiyah pnimit. And you have to realize that it's not just Rav Kook was ahead of his time in terms of educational theory, that this is going to it's going to help students learn, it's going to save people from tarbut ra'ah. Rav Kook thought that this is like spiritually, metaphysically, not just educationally, this is what has to happen. Hashem made each Jewish neshama different, distinct, unique, and each Jewish neshama interacts with Torah in a unique way. And how do I know what part of Torah my neshama is supposed to interact with and help grow and help develop? So Rav Kook says it's the part of Torah where you find the oneg v'simcha. So it's not just that on a practical level, this approach is going to create the most success. It's also on a spiritual level. This is the way Hashem made you. And this is the way Hashem made your part of Torah, and it's your responsibility to bring out this part of Torah. That's what Rav Kook writes in Or HaTorah Beis Aleph. Rav Kook has several definitions of Torah Lashma in Or HaTorah Perek Beis. One of them is like Rav Chaim V'Lashon, "Inyan HaTorah Lashma L'Shem HaTorah." What does it mean L'Shem HaTorah? Because Torah is amazing. Torah is Chokhmah Selokis. The more Gilui, the more Chokhmah Selokis we have in the world, the more we have Chokhmah Torah in the world, the more we have Gilui Elokis in the world, the better off we all are. Then Rav Kook says, the person learns Torah, he brings the reality of this chokhmah from his perspective. Each neshama is different. Each person has different life experiences. Each neshama is different. Each neshama is going to understand Torah in a slightly different way. So if you care about Chokhmas Elokis in the world and the revelation of divinity in this world, therefore you care about the corpus of Torah, every Jewish person has a responsibility to bring out, to create more, develop more of that corpus of Torah, L'Hagdil Torah L'Adira. How do I do that? By learning Torah myself. And because when I learn Torah, there's going to be something new that comes into the world which nobody else could bring into the world. That is going to happen the most if a person learns the area of Torah that they're most attracted to, that their neshama is most mukshar for. They're going to be able to create more Torah, create more divinity in this world. And also, it's important to note, Rav Chaim V'Lashon also talks about in Nefesh Chaim Shaar if I recall correctly, the Koach HaChidush, that people, that Talmid HaChamim have the ability to bring out and create new Torah, but if I recall correctly, it focuses more on classic Kiddushim, on if somebody's a massive Talmid HaChamim is going to learn a sugya and come up with a Kiddush. Here, Rav Kook is saying each Jewish person has a responsibility to understand Torah in their own way. And he doesn't say it in this piece, but it makes sense then that you're going to learn the Torah that you're most attracted to, because that creates more Torah in the world. Of course, you need to have checks and balances. You can't just not be mukshar and not have any education come in and just sit and say new pshat. It has to be within the Masorah. It has to be you have to check it with other people. It can't contradict anything else. But the notion of each person developing their own understanding, innovation, creativity, and particularly in the area of Torah that you find most appealing, that creates the Oneg V'Simcha, the Schibur to your neshama, is something that Rav Kook was definitely advocating. This idea also emerges from a piece in Or HaKadosh Gimel. This is a fairly well-known piece. Rav Kook starts off, "Ani b'tocha gola," Yechezkel says, "I'm in galus," or "Ani pnimi ha'atzmi," the inner eye is in galus. Rav Kook describes how a lot of the chatayim of Sefer Bereishis were caused by entities or people leaving their inner eye. And the sin of the Eitz Hadas was when Adam listened to something external, or Chava and Adam both listened to things that are external from themselves. They would have listened to their inner voice. Their inner voice at that point was the voice of Hashem. They would not have done chatayim. That's why Hashem's first question to Adam is, "Ayaka, where are you? Where's the inner eye?" And Rav Kook says, after going through all these chatayim, there are learned educators to come, credentialed educators come. They look at things externally. They divert people's attention, they divert students' attention from the inner eye. They add straw to the pyre, to the fire. They give the thirsty people vinegar to drink. They fatten the minds and the hearts with things that are external. Then the inner eye is continuously forgotten. You can't relate to other people or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you've forgotten your inner eye. The Rav Kook describes that, so you see, Rav Kook thinks that this idea of the uniqueness of the individual and the uniqueness of each neshama it has ramifications in the world of education. You can't just have 30 students in a room and a Rebbe, and the Rebbe just teaches everybody in the same way, and the students repeat. That is, that educational system might have worked in Galus. It's not supposed to work as part of Torah's Eretz Yisrael. It's supposed to slowly, slowly move away to a more individualized curriculum. We're going to see, or if Kook is going to say that you can't do this on an elementary school level to the nth degree. I assume it's supposed to become more and more individualized the older and older and more mature you get. But this is supposed to be one of the acronyms, one of the principles of the educational system. But Rav Kook says, and this process of realizing the inner eye, particularly in the world of education, is redemptive. Ruach HaPinu Mashiach Hashem, Zeu Gvuraso Hadar Gadol. Inenu Mibuchatz Lanu. Ruach HaPinu Mashiach Hashem is not external to us. Ruach HaPinu Hu. It's Hashem as the David Malkinu Nevakesh. Al Hashem Tuvo Nefaked. It's Ani Shalanu Nevakesh. There is a process where when we're seeking out Mashiach, we're seeking out the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is going to happen last in Avo, we are really seeking out Ani Shalanu. We are seeking out the inner eye. At the Tzmeinu Nevakesh Nemsah, we will seek ourselves out and find ourselves. Why? Ki ani Hashem. That's where Rav Kook ends off the piece, because the inner eye really is the neshama of Hashem, the inner voice of Hashem speaking within us. So Rav Kook thinks of galus as people learning, so to speak, external Torah that is outside of them, that they are studying as an external text. And part of the process of Torah Sarat Israel, as we described last time, is making Torah more internal, internalizing it, experiencing it, breathing it. And oneg v'simcha, and having each person learn the Torah that is matim for them, or mainly learn the Torah that's matim for them, that is part of finding the inner eye, which is part of the messianic redemptive process. So you see that it's not just about education and which theory of education is more mutzlach. It's also about this Kabbalistic notion of each person needing to tap into their inner neshama. Rav Kook takes this theory, and in some of his more, I guess, Kabbalistic passages or more extreme passages, he takes it in a very, very extreme direction. This is a piece which I do not think was published in Arutz HaKodesh. I could be wrong, but it appears in Shmoneh Fatzim Beis Kuf Ayin Beis. The piece immediately afterwards, I will also say, is in Arutz HaKodesh, but I could be wrong about this piece not being in Arutz HaKodesh. Rav Kook writes, Hanashim Gedolim Be'emet, the truly great people, truly great neshamos. Rav Kook believe with the notion of a tzaddik, the capital tzaddi, there are the different types of neshamos that come down into the world, and some people have a neshama Torah, they just have a higher spiritual aptitude. So these great people, Himotzim Be'kirbam Nigut Pnimi L'tzlamdut, they have an inner opposition to book learning. Ki Akol Chai Be'kirbam Ufakam Yerukam, because everything is living within them already. They always have to have these inner processes of their own, of deepening themselves within themselves. And when they learn things, it's important, but it's assisting and tafel to their process of understanding themselves. But what type of Torah should they be learning, therefore? Near Torah. Representing the Gemara, that originally the Torah is called Torah Hashem. Then it's called Torah. The Torah to Yegeim Vlei. That's called, it goes from Torah Hashem to being his Torah. And the Gemara has a lot of ramifications of this, that it's Hamachachim to be Mochon, it's Kavod, because Torah Dilehu. And this type of Anashim Gedolim, these types of Hatzadikim have to mainly learn their Torah Ditu. The Fahmim Einad the Makir's Erko, Puna Achor, the Torah Dilei, the Chibis deals Dafka Melumat. Sometimes a person, a Tzadik, or this type of great person, he can't, for whatever reason, is not learning the Torah that speaks to him, the Torah that's going to help him understand his own neshama. And he feels the need to become miluma, to become, like, his book smart or credentialed. Mitzad is the hergel with svar milumeda, because of some type of svar. I don't know if he has certain credentials, maybe he'll be more accepted. Or mitzad is a hergel, is whatever he's doing. Kedrosha kabal svar. Az mitzchila ikas hayurida lehakshak solom shabudelam chalashim alalu. This is going to weaken and darken the world of these great people. I think that's what Rav Kook is saying. He's not saying it's good or bad. He's just saying these tzaddikim should be aware of the fact that this is going to, might hurt their inner neshama. It might be worth it. It might be of some svar milo methods to do it, but it's not. But you have to realize it's going to hurt them. So here Rav Kook is talking about tzaddikim, and in a certain sense, he's saying hitlamdut in general, the notion of book studying in general, is something that is not necessarily natural to them. And therefore, the things they have to be learning are the things that are Torah too, the Torah that speaks to them. So this is the same idea we've been talking about, just on a more extreme level, that these tzaddikim have to be learning Torah too, and regular Torah, which other types of Torah, might actually weaken or darken them. The next piece in Avodah Kodesh, our next piece in Shemoneh Katzim, is also published in Avodah Kodesh. It's almost a continuation. What type of Torah is going to be mashlim, is going to get a person in touch and develop their inner neshama? Of Kook writes, what is the goal, the agenda of Chokhmat HaRazim, of Kabbalah, with all of its pathways? It is a development of the Koach HaNeshama until the neshama stands self-sufficiently, to be able to draw out from its own source, without any sort of need for learning. So what type of Torah is going to help people get in touch with their own neshama and have the neshama stand on its own? Chachmat HaRazim, Kabbalah. So this comes full circle to what we're seeing last week, that Rav Kook wanted to bring Torah's Nistar back into the curriculum, particularly for people that had this deep tshuva pnimis for kirba to Hashem that wasn't being satiated wasn't being satiated with other forms of Torah. So their main part of Torah, their Ikar Kedag HaTorah, is going to be Chokhmat HaRazim, and that's going to help develop their own internal neshamas. So this is and then Rav Kook has a different piece. This one is published in Ozer Kodesh, which I didn't put on the sheet. Rav Kook says, last level, when Mashiach comes, you're not going to have to learn from other people anymore. Cook says, even B'zman HaZeh, anytime you learn from somebody else, there's some type of inner opposition, there's some type of disadvantage, because you're learning the Torah the way the other person understands it and perceives it and relays it to you. That's why it's necessary. We need Rabbeim B'zman HaZeh. We have to learn Torah from somebody. But the ideal form of Torah is Torah that's coming from the inside out, or at least when you're learning the text, you feel like it's coming from the inside out. That's what Rav Kook says. But Lasa Lavo, but Achras Yamim, at some point after Mashiach comes, people are not going to need Rabbeim anymore. Everybody's going to understand the Torah totally internally. And there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu where it says that people are not going to have to teach each other, but Yirash Hashem, it's going to be internal. It's going to be Chakuk Aluchos Liban. Just to note that this notion of following intuition, and having the self-confidence to believe that your neshama is guiding you in the right direction. In this lesson this year, it's mostly about curriculum. Rav Kook thinks this is true in general. Or to Torah Yud Aleph Beis, Rav Kook writes, Adam Yashar Tzarek Lamin B'Chayav, a straight person has to trust his life. What does that mean? Klomar, Shiamin B'Chayat Tzmo B'Chashatav V'Chol B'Darki Sharam Yisrael Nafsho. A person should believe that his regashos, his feelings, and his intuitions are guiding him in a good path, misod nafsho, because they come from his own neshama. Shem tovim yishayim, shem alichem adarek hashara. They're gonna lead a person in the right direction. A person has an atiyah towards music, an atiyah towards a science, an atiyah towards sports, an atiyah towards something. That is an atiyah that is leading you in the right direction. So why do we need a Torah? HaTorah tzvicha shetiyah ner l'raglo, shayadayin yirah etzal makom sheshama ta'os alula, shlafenim etatea nafesh b'tol adarek. Taivos, we have a Yitzhara. You can't always trust your intuition. Maybe the basic intuition is good. Maybe you're going to fall off the deep end. Maybe you become too obsessed with whatever your natiya is towards. And you're going to forget other aspects of your life, or it's going to become a secular pursuit as opposed to a spiritual pursuit. When you're involved in sports or the sciences or whatever it is, and you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah is there to guide you. But the driving force should be this notion of self confidence. That, as Rav Kook says, the Jewish person has to believe that there is a divine soul within him, that soul is itself an os akas min haTorah, and therefore, when a person's neshama is giving them an intuition and to go in a certain direction, to learn a certain part of Torah, that is Torah itself that is speaking from within to without. Just a couple of points just to be mentioned in the picture. Number one is that it sounds like from some of these sources, Rav Kook wanted, you know, to ask every 6-year-old what part of Torah they want to learn, and just follows the 6-year-olds around in terms of their own educational curriculum. That was not the case. Rav Kook definitely felt that children and young people have to sit and learn. They have to steig. They have to learn the basics. You need a broad curriculum in the beginning, even in yeshiva years, and as you get older, more and more and more individualized choice should be introduced into it should be introduced into the curriculum. Number two, is that even though this idea seems a little bit radical, each person should be learning mainly the Torah that they find most appealing to them. Another point that bears to be mentioned, and maybe we'll discuss this next time, is that Rav Kook viewed Torah and mitzvos both as an individual chiyuv and as a collective national chiyuv. So there is a lot of Torah out there. So if I'm focusing more on Tanakh, focusing more on Makshavah, or more on Kabbalah, more on Gemara, more on Halacha, there's going to be a lot of Torah that I'm not going to learn. And Rav Kook himself was sometimes expressed anxiety over that. But the way Rav Kook thought about it was that throughout all of Am Yisrael, each person is going to be learning the Torah that speak primarily, at least, that most speaks to them. And they're going to be talking to each other, and they're going to be interacting with each other, and there's going to be a lot of correspondence, a lot of conversations. And the Am Yisrael as a whole is going to learn and study and engage and create the entirety of and develop the entirety of the Torah. So it's not like I have an individual chiyuv to know everything. If Rav Kook had a very broad curriculum, to learn all of Kabbalah, all of Halacha, all of this, all of that, I might have, but I have to realize that if I'm doing my part, other people are doing their part, the Am Yisrael as a whole is going to master and develop the entirety of the Torah. Just a nice story that I think expresses this. I think this is in the Rabbi Mital biography that was published, I guess, a good number of years ago by now. If I recall correctly, the story goes like this. I could be off in the details that when Rabbi Mital first started Yeshivat Har Etzion, so I think it was no morning seder was Gemara, afternoon seder was Gemara. So one day Rabbi Mital was walking around the Beis Midrash and he saw there was a guy, a serious Talmud, who was learning Rav Kook in the afternoon. So Rabbi Mital went over to him and told him, you know, Rav Kook is amazing, or whatever he said, but the yeshiva is learning Gemara now. You should put away the Rav Kook and learn Gemara. You should learn the Rav Kook at night, or Ben Asar, and whatever it is. And that's what the person did. A couple of days later, Rav Mital saw again, he was learning Rav Kook as opposed to Gemara. Again, he told him. Third time, I think. And then by the time, fourth time around, Rav Mital just walked by and did not make a comment to him. And then this person became I'm forgetting exactly who he was, but he became, I think, a professor, Makshevet Yisrael somewhere, and he published a lot of Rav Kook, and he taught a lot about Rav Kook, and made Rav Kook know was instrumental in spreading Rav Kook and make to the masses and making Rav Kook more understandable. So I think, again, I could be quoting this incorrectly, but I think where Rav Mital commented about the story is that he saw is that you know there's a seder in the yeshiva, there has to be some type of structure, and you have to make sure that people are keeping the seder, otherwise you don't have a structure. But once Rav Mital saw that learning Rav Kook for this person wasn't just a whim, this person was a serious student, and if he was disobeying the Rosh Yeshiva once, twice, three times, and constantly taking out the Rav Kook, he saw it was a real Ratzon Pnimi. There was really something there that was driving the student to learn Rav Kook. Rav Mital said if he has a real Ratzon Pnimi to do it, so then he should be learning Rav Kook. So Rav Mital did not comment to him after a couple of times, and Kachava and Dvarim Tuvim went out from it. And I don't have all the osios in Rav Kook to trace this, but it seems like to me that that is the type of educational decisions Rav Kook would want, in the sense that you need a structure. You at least for people that are 18, 19, 20 years old, you have to have a curriculum. You have to have a structure. You can't be a free for all. At the same time, there should be a lot of room for individuality. There should be a lot of room for personal connection. Just to conclude, the fact that Rav Kook did not think that you know a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, a student at the beginning of their derech, or even an 18-year-old, should always assume there's always going to be only the simcha when they learn Torah, and they should always be learning only the Torah that speaks to them immediately. Rav Kook and Einayah on Beis Kuf Aleph. This is the Gemara on Shabbos says something about learning could be mar, it could be bitter. I'm forgetting the exact Gemara. My apologies. Rav Kook says, "Zoi chovas ha-maskil." This is the obligation of somebody who's starting. Ha-islami l'das. You have to work to get to the inside. Elo omek shabbatorah, to the depths of Torah. Shabbat And sometimes you have to give up on your simchas aleiv and your natural pleasures. The Torah is a filled with oneg v'simcha, but don't imagine to yourself you're going to find it immediately at age 18 the first time you open up a Gemara. The beginning has to be miriras, but mimar yatzei matok. The beginning it might be mar, but in the end it's going to be sweet. And as a person matures, there should be more oneg v'simcha in learning, and there should be more of an individualized curriculum. This is part of Torah's Eretz Yisrael for Rav Kook. Each Jew should be learning the Torah that speaks to them, and not necessarily the Torah that doesn't speak to them. Just the shame, because that Torah is more the shame shemayim. The Torah that speaks to you means that the Hashem put it into your neshama. This is the Torah that you are meant to learn. Now, if all of Am Yisrael is doing this, all of Am Yisrael is going to be able to combine together to develop and unfurl and reveal the depths and the breadth of the entirety of the Torah, the entirety of the unified Torah. But some are learning Gemara, some are learning Halakha, some are learning Makshava, some are learning Kabbalah, and everybody's coming together. And this helps develop and disclose the ultimate unified Torah that is supposed to be Torah Sar Yisrael, the Torah of Mashiach. Thank you so much. Have a great day.